Go back over to Hebrews 11 with me for a moment. We're looking at this scripture in verse 1, very familiar to you. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things unseen. Faith literally is the substance or the material of things that you're hoping for, and it's the evidence that they actually exist. Somebody told you today, congratulations, so-and-so in our family left you a house in Southern California. One of the ones that survived the fire can have an amen. And they showed you the deed, you wouldn't go around doubting them. Now, I don't think you're telling me the truth. And that deed is the proof that house exists. And when it's in your name, it's proof that it's for you. Well, that's what faith is like. It's that title deed. The Amplified says the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen from the NASB. And then from the Amplified, now faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of the things that we hope for, being the proof of things we do not see and the conviction of their reality. Faith perceiving as real fact what is not perceived to the senses. Now, additionally, the Bible tells us that this lifestyle of faith is not something that we try. It's actually something we're supposed to live by. It is the prescribed way to live. Say that with me. Faith is the prescribed way to live. It's not just what you do spiritually or in church, you know, or in Sunday school. It's how you're supposed to live your life. Faith. Faith is the victory, the Bible says. It overcomes the world. Whoever's born of God overcomes the world, 1 John 5, 4 says. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. In fact, nothing else will help you overcome this world except for faith. So at the outset, let me remind you that faith is not a take it or leave it thing. Because if you leave it, you will live a defeated life. Yes, you may squeak into heaven because of your faith in Christ, but you will live a defeated life down here, and then you'll have to go to romper room when you get to heaven and learn how to operate by faith, because you haven't seen anything when you get to heaven. Amen. You will use your faith, not just now, but you will use your faith in the future as you live for God for all eternity. The Bible says four times in Scripture, just wrap your head around this, four times the just shall live by faith. Hebrews, Habakkuk 2:4. Look at the proud. His soul is not straight or right within him, but the originally just, the righteous will live by faith and their faithfulness. Romans 1:17. For in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last. Just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. We are, you know, we are lived by faith and we become righteous by faith. Can I have an amen? Amen. Then in Galatians 3:11, clearly no one who relies on the law is justified before God because the righteous will live by faith. We're justified by faith and not the law. Can I have an amen? Then in Hebrews 10:38, a very timely reminder, you need to persevere. Anybody can quit. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised for in just a little while. He who is coming will not delay, and my righteous one will live by faith. I take no pleasure in the one who shrinks back. He calls us to be people that persevere. This is not the time to back up or back down or shrink back. It's a time to move forward in him. You say, well, this world is nuts. People are crazy. A lot of weird things going on. Yes, but that's all out there in the world. You need to zero in on what did God say about your life.
Amen.
If you're trying to establish your life and strengthen your life by what the world is saying, it will never happen. But strengthening your life and basing on what did God say, you will live a strong and victorious life. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
In other words, we avoid shrinking back or falling away by faith. That's how we stand strong. The Bible's very plain, though a righteous man falls seven times, what's he going to do? Well, how does he do that? The righteous lives by faith. That's how he gets up again. When I fall, the Bible says, I shall arise. Look at somebody and smile and tell them, it's not time to stay down. It's time to get up. You know a solid Christian, a mature Christian, when they can take a punch and get back up again. Anybody can take a punch and lay down. Anybody can throw in the white towel. But it takes a child of God who understands that it's the faith that undergirds you that causes you to stand when adversity hits, when challenges hit. See, people looking through the lens of faith are different than people in this world. And I will say this, Christians who look through the lens of faith are different from other Christians. It has nothing to do with we've made ourselves better because we're not. It's simply telling you that we just see things differently. When you're looking through the lens of faith, there's a clarity there, there's a power there, and it's very different from how the world sees things, and it's very different from even how religion sees things. And it's all based on what you do with the Word of God. You know, you may go through some things with your sight, and you visit, you know, an optician or an ophthalmologist, and you get some things corrected, what you do in the natural so you can see better. The way a Christian sees better, more accurately, is through the lens of faith. Everything else will cause your vision to be cloudy, distorted. Are you here today? People, as we talked about last week, that look through the lens of faith, the faith is a way of life to them and not something you try. When you're about to get married and you stand in the altar, you don't answer the preacher when he says, do you take this person to be your lawfully wedded wife? Amen. To love, honor, and cherish her till death do you part. You don't respond with, I'll try. You're going to get a frying pan to the head before you even get married. I'll try to a covenant issue, and a covenant matter is not the right response. I do. I will. You got that, Wes? Okay. I'm glad that counseling's paying off, bless God. Number two, God's sovereignty is expressed in His Word and not by His whims. Well, God in His sovereignty can do whatever He wants to do because He's God. A sovereign God subjected Himself to His own Word. And once He published that covenant Word, He is bound Himself to honor the Word that He spoke. He doesn't say one thing and do another. He's not arbitrary. He's not capricious. You can count on when He said something, He will follow through. Amen. God and His sovereignty. Amen. Apparently there's a horse named Sovereignty. Interesting choice. Amen. You know, it's an interesting fact that I heard yesterday about the Kentucky Derby. My nephew actually does all the videography and promotion now for that particular organization that runs the Derby. And I heard this reference that every horse that ran yesterday is a descendant of Secretariat. Thousands upon thousands of horses bred, and still to this day, that massively successful, amen, horse with 4 to 5 times the heart size of an average, you know, racehorse, they're still producing champions. That's what you and I are supposed to be with our faith, amen? If Jesus tarries 2, 3, 4, 5 generations down the line, you still got people serving God in your family. Amen. Glory to God. Number three, we talked about this. They don't pretend. Faith people don't pretend. They attack with the Word of God. We don't deny something that is adverse or unscriptural exists in our lives. We deny its right to exist and remain there. That's the difference. Say this with me, the smile on your face. Faith does not pretend. Faith attacks. People will say, well, those faith people live in a different universe. Well, you're right about that. We live in a faith universe. But we're not ignorant and we're not pretending. We know exactly what's going on. We just attack that thing with the Word of God in our mouth. Amen? Say it with me. Faith doesn't pretend. It attacks. Number four, faith people aren't moved by what they see or feel or hear. Faith people are moved only by what did God say? What did His Word tell us? Next, everything to the faith person is subject to change. Bible tells us to fix your eyes on what? What is eternal? Because what is temporal is subject to change. The faith person knows that with faith in the heart and faith in the mouth, God can turn that thing around. Is there anybody in this room that still believes that God can turn that around in their life? Yes. I said, is there anybody that still believes that? That's how the faith person sees this. The carnal Christian will go, you know, whatever is, is. They've got kind of like a Doris Day and Forrest Gump theology all rolled into one. OK, Okay, sirrah, sirrah, whatever will be, will be. And life is like a box of chocolates and them know what you're going to get. That's not how a faith person operates. Almost this fatalistic thing. You never know what's going to happen to you. You never know when the next shoe is going to drop. Well, faith people don't look at life that way. They understand something may be there today, but it's subject to change. Say, how can that happen? Because this is unchangeable. And when the unchangeable hits the changeable bends its knee to that which is unchangeable. And I won't be saying that one more time. Faith will understand that absolutely nothing is impossible with God. Say that nothing is impossible with God. And nothing, the scripture says, is impossible to those that believe. That is our key. That is the way we look at things. Next, the faith person sees the Word of God as the highest reality and authority in the universe, beyond anyone's opinion, book, writing, blog, newspaper article, sermon, regardless of what is said. This is first place and final authority. And I will tell you, the first step into destruction in your life is when you begin to doubt the integrity and authority of this word and place some man's thoughts or book or ideas or sermon above this book. That's when you get into trouble. That is the first step into backsliding. That is the first step into deconstructing your faith. It's really not that hard to understand. You turn your back on the word of God, you will fall apart. The Bible says that God holds up all things in this universe with His mighty word. Turn your back on the word and nothing will hold up in your life. I'm preaching better than y'all are staring at me right now. Say it with me. I'm not looking to backslide. I see the word of God as the highest authority in the universe. What did God say? Today, preachers and religious people and Christians all over the world are trying to say, well, I'll analyze that and see if I believe that particular part of the Word of God as if you're smarter than God. Here's a tip. You're not. Amen. What that is called is pride, when you put yourself above the authority of the Word of God, and you're looking for trouble when you do that. Next, a faith person believes that nothing can stop them because of God before them. Who can be against them? Let me ask you a question. Do you believe that God is for you today?
Yes.
I said, do you believe that God is for you today?
Yes.
If He's for you, then what? Who can be against you? Let God open up the eyes, your eyes, like the prophet did in the days of old, where the servant's eyes were opened and found out that there are more with you than against you. You just have to remember that it's the eye of faith that sees that and not the natural eye. And then last today, in terms of what that lens looks like, faith people see opportunities instead of obstacles. They make a difference what's arrayed against you. How big the army is, how big the obstacle, how big the giants are. It doesn't make any difference. How great the strategy is, or what somebody's doing or saying, what they're believing. No, faith people understand that God can turn that thing around. Do I have any Joshuas and Calebs in this room this morning? I said, do I have any Joshuas and Calebs in this room this morning? Joshuas and Calebs have a faith lens. They don't come back whining about the size of the cities and the giants. They come back celebrating the grapes, hallelujah, and the food there, and the power, and the opportunity. That's what they do. They don't come back spreading an ungodly, evil report of unbelief. They come back saying, we can, because God said we can. Now, yes, if you're going to be a person like that, you're probably going to be in the minority in the body of Christ in this country. But dear God, we need more of you, not less of you. Say, I don't see obstacles. I see opportunities. Because I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Now the question is, you know, faith is not just how we get saved. It's a lifestyle. In fact, Romans 3:27 refers to faith as the law of faith. That's how we operate. The principles of faith should permeate every aspect of our lives. The spirit of faith, integrity of the word, the nature of God, good news of God, the only means to victory, the blessing, the favor of God is by faith. 2 Corinthians 4:13 says, "We have in the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believe, and therefore I have spoken. We also believe and therefore speak." In a nutshell, Romans 10, 9 and 10 and 2 Corinthians 4 tells you how you operate by faith. Say it, I believe in my heart and I say with my mouth. Faith fundamentally has to be in two places to work. It has to be in your heart. So we have to find out how it gets in the heart and how it stays in the heart. And then out of the abundance of the heart, what happens? The mouth speaks. Up out of that heart filled with the word, faith speaks. It has to be in two places. People look at that and they hear that because they lack understanding and revelation. They think folks are kind of weird. That's that faith bunch. That's that blab it and grab it group. That's that name it and claim it group. You're missing the whole point. It's how God designed this to be. Be careful criticizing something that God set up.
Right.
This is how it works. Raise your hand if you're born again and you know you're going to heaven. And are you excited about it? You got saved because you believed in your heart and you said with your mouth. What's confusing for some Christians is they think that that doesn't apply to any other area of their Christian life. And it does. You tap into restoration. You tap into healing. You tap into abundance. You tap into God's direction, His wisdom, the same way by believing in your heart and saying with your mouth. And there are no exceptions. My brother-in-law used to say it like this, you will rise or you will fall to the level of the confession of your mouth. And I said, boy, that's good. But then he added this, and there are no exceptions. I'm different. I'm special. No, all of us are human beings, and that's how we walk in faith. That's how we walk in the victory of God. If you're here, give me a good amen.
Amen.
Everything in life should be viewed through and evaluated by the facet of the Word of God, everything, because that is the one thing that will generate the Word, will generate the faith for you that gives you the victory that overcomes the world. Your faith is generated by the entrance of the Word of God and the Word of God coming out of your mouth. Scripture says in Romans 10:8, the Word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the Word of faith that we proclaim. Well, I heard somebody making fun of that phrase, Word of faith. Well, they were making fun of the Apostle Paul. It's interesting that people want to follow Paul up to a certain point. I don't want to follow Paul into that word of faith stuff, and I don't want to follow Paul into that tongues stuff. Well, I do. I think he's a pretty good example for us to live by, amen? Follow a great example. He said, follow me as I follow Christ. Well, what did he do? He was a person of great faith. The essence and the foundation of this message, and I'm in no hurry to really go through it with you, because I want you to get this down, and, you know, everything. As a Christian, we can't just hear it one time and then we've arrived.
That's right.
We are a composite of what we've been feeding on for years and years and years and years. And so all of us need what? To be reminded, to be restored, to be helped, to be encouraged along this line. We don't need to be discouraged by somebody trying to encourage us not to believe, encourage us to quit. No, he wants to encourage us to stand and to move forward in our faith. The essence of this is we are not defeated because of what is going on in our lives. We're not defeated because what happened to us. We're not defeated because of what they said about us. We're not defeated because of things we go through. We're defeated because somehow the devil was able to get us to turn loose of the Word of God. The attack is designed to get you to let go of that which would give you the victory in every area of life. Jesus was very clear about this in Mark 4, if you want to turn there. Why don't you turn to somebody and smile and say, I refuse to let go of the Word of God. The enemy's number one goal is to get you to turn loose of the Word of God, and in so doing, so disconnect you from the supernatural and from the will of God. So now you're just stuck with what you can do in the natural. And he is persistent. Somebody said to Brother Hagin one time, you'd find something good to say about the devil. You know what Hagin said? Well, he is a persistent cuss. They can say, I'm persistent too.
I'm persistent
without the cuss. I want to just read the parable and then talk to you about these four kinds of soil, or the four kinds of the heart. And say this boldly, it's not what's happened to me, it's how I react to it. Say, the devil's number one goal is to get me to turn loose of the Word of God. You got to have a mindset like Peter when Jesus said, you know, unless you eat my body and drink my flesh, you have no part of me. And they left him in droves. Imagine this now, there's just 12 men standing there. And Jesus looks at them and says, are you going to leave as well? And what does Peter say? To whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Once you discover that life, once you discover that faith, there's nowhere to go. So you have to make up your mind. You're not going to buy any of these modern tricks of the devil to get you to let go of the Word of God. You're not going to buy those philosophies of men out there that are trying to denigrate the things of God and put down signs, wonders, miracles. I mean, I hear Christians, you know, somehow saying, well, God doesn't do this anymore. I'm like, what's the point? They have entire conferences now dedicated to telling you how God doesn't do miracles anymore. One of them was held in California. Look, I'm not flying all the way to California to hear what God doesn't do anymore. Amen?
Amen.
But I'll fly nonstop all the other side of the world to find out what God is doing, what He wants to do. Be under no mistake here. Faith cometh by hearing, but unbelief comes the same way. We don't need to be told what God doesn't do anymore because somebody is bitter or somehow they're deceived or they've gone through a tough time and they gave themselves over to their mindset instead of sticking to the Word of God. Do you know that you don't have to have everything figured out in this life? Smile at somebody and say, I love you. But you're not that bright. This incessant need, I gotta know. You like that Ukrainian Russian chick in Indiana Jones? I want to know everything. One day you will have total recall to understanding. Right now is a thing called trust and faith. And how do you do that? By limiting yourself to what the Word of God said and not your vain imaginations. Learn to do what Paul taught us in Corinthians, casting down vain imaginations and everything that exalts itself above the knowledge of God, taking captive every thought that exalts itself above the knowledge of God. What is that? Taking captive, exalting thoughts that exalt themselves above the Word of God. You're the only one that can do that. You can want to do it for your spouse, but you can't do it for them. Amen. There's a time as a pastor, I thought I could do it for everybody. I love just to unzip your head and pour it in and zip it back up again. I found out some Christians wouldn't even stand still long enough for me to unzip them. Look at somebody and smile and say, it's your responsibility. To judge those thoughts and cast them down when they contradict the Word of God. Amen. Have you found Mark 4? In verse 1, again, Jesus began to teach by the lake. The crowd that gathered around him was so large that he got into a boat and sat in it on the lake. While all the people were there along the shore at the water's edge, he taught them many things by parables, and in his teaching said, listen, the farmer went out to sow his seed, and he was scattering the seed. Some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants, so they did not bear grain. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up, grew, and produced a crop, multiplying 30, 60, even 100 times. And I confess it, that's me. Come on, saying, I'm that one. 30, 60, and 100-fold. Then Jesus said, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. We're not talking about little paddles on the side of your head. We're talking about spiritual ears to discern spiritual truth. I remember one time my brother got in trouble in grade school because the teacher said something like this, "Open your ears." And Gary said, "Open your ears and you shall hear." She didn't like that very much, mocking her. You got wrote up for that. But there's some good counsel for all of us in that. Smile at somebody and say, "Open your ears." Do you know that any given Sunday there are people with open ears? And some people, their ears are not open. Amen. Why is that important? Because faith comes by what?
Hearing.
By hearing. When he was alone with the 12 and the others around him, he asked them about the parables. He said to them, "The secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you. And the secret is the entrance of the word of God producing faith and giving you victory. But to those on the outside, everything is said in parables. They may be ever seeing but never perceiving, ever hearing but never understanding. Otherwise, they might turn and be forgiven or converted and be healed." In verse 13, then Jesus said to them, "Don't you understand this parable? How then you understand any parable? The farmer sows the word." Say it, the farmer sows the word. Some people. Say it like this, some people. Are like seed along the path where the word is sown. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown in them. You have to understand that in every service there are Christians. And non-Christians. People on fire. People not on fire. People that came for the word. People that came to cross off a box. People that came because they're excited about God. Other people came because somebody invited them and they're excited about going out to eat afterwards. There are angels. Besides me, there are angels, real angels, in this building right now. I said they're real and they're here. There are also demons present. And that should just not intimidate you at all. Because greater is He that is in you than He that is in the world. And as soon as this word is going forth, the enemy is there to try to block the entrance of that word into your heart. And he will do anything he can because your victory is tied to the reception and the retention of that word. That's why when you walk into the house of God or in your devotions, you open to the Word of God, you should not do so with every distraction under the sun. You should make sure that you're able to focus. Well, how does he steal the Word? Well, he does it through things like defeating thoughts. Here, I'm declaring the Word of your victory, and the enemy is doing everything he can to keep you from receiving that Word. By telling you how terrible you are, you'll never be anything. And you know, I wish I could have faith like that. And one day maybe God will do something to my life. But you sit here defeated when the answer is going forth. And the devil is a master in messing with your mind even while the sermon is going forth. That's why we teach things like harnessing your mind, especially when the word is going forth. He will use every distraction under the sun to stop you from having the word coming into your heart and bringing life and faith to you. And some people have a very little attention span. That's what I asked one time, you know, with babies crying and doors slamming and people kicking over metal thermos bottles. How could you possibly concentrate? After a number of years, you just learn to just stick to what you're supposed to do. It's not that the preachers gets distracted, it's that people get distracted. Amen? You ought to be able to sit there today and say, "Devil, you are no longer stealing another word that comes out of that pulpit, comes out of that Bible, comes out of the ministry. You're never doing it again. I don't care if you set a bomb off, you're not taking the word away from me ever again."
Amen.
You're going to have distractions. Amen? I have decided as a pastor that some people have the bladder of an uninflated balloon. And then there are real people with real issues. Not going to bother me any. But if you don't need to shuffle, and sometimes we shuffle because we're under conviction. Just sit still and say amen. Nobody will know it's you. Just sit still. I was preaching on the Ten Commandments over in Hopkinsville. Got to adultery. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out if the preacher is preaching about adultery and you get up in the middle of it and leave. Just saying. Probably not your best move. He's after the word. He doesn't even want it to get into its intended place. So thoughts of defeat and distraction. And people responding to the word going forth in the flesh saying, well, that's not the way I always heard it taught. Grandma and grandpa didn't do it that way. We've never done it that way before. What's he been smoking? No, I don't do that. Dr. Barkley, though, has a friend in the ministry, a so-called friend, and he showed up at his church one day, and he led him down to where the pastor's office was, and this strange smell, a lot like reefer, was coming out from under the door. And he walks in the door, and Barkley goes, what on earth are you doing? He goes, why? I find it helps me to revelate. He said, no, I think you're hallucinating is what you're doing. Look at somebody and say, we don't do that around here. And I've been smoking weed. When you're baptized sufficiently in your religious tradition and teaching, some of the things you're going to hear through the faith lens are going to sound very, very strange to you. You can either bow up and say, or you can receive it. Say, I'm a receiver. Everybody that walks into the house of God where the word of God is preached without compromise is going to have to unlearn some things. Depending on how you were raised, you might have to unlearn lots of things. Based on how you were raised, you might find every week challenged. Yeah. Amen. And how you react determines whether that word's going to find its place or you walk out defeated because you rejected the very thing that would give you the freedom and victory in your life. We thank God for any tradition we have, any religious truth that we received as a foundation, but our commitment has to be to move on with God and keep a spirit of wisdom and revelation all the days of our lives because we don't know everything. That's right. Amen. Look at somebody and say, I love you, but you don't know everything. So immediately when the word's going forth, the enemy is active to snatch that word away. Amen. Say it with me. I am not distracted. I am not defeated. I will not resist the word of God that God's trying to plant in my heart. Your job is to look at the word of God. Amen. And when what is said is in agreement with the word of God, you let it go into a deep place on the inside of you. What happens if you manage to bypass what the devil's trying to do and distracting you from planting that word and you make it to this second kind of a soil? Read on with me. Others, like seeds sown on a rocky place, hear the word at once, receive it with joy. Say joy.
Joy.
But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. Here's one thing I can guarantee you, that if you allow that word to find a sure place in your heart, trouble and persecution are on the way. Well, Pastor, then what's the motivation for receiving it? Because it's the pathway to your victory. But it's not a pathway that does not have any kind of opposition to it. Does that make sense? I've seen this through the years. Other people that have been around here a long time could say the same thing, I'm sure. You know, Tim, you could say that. Rodney, you could say that. Where people receive the message with joy. Oh, they were thrilled about the new birth, thrilled about the spirit-filled life, thrilled about the God, you know, God's ability and desire to use them, the authority of the believer, amen, the power of the tongue, amen, the faith lifestyle and walk. And then all of a sudden, persecution and trouble showed up. And instead of persevering through that, They let the devil use that persecution and trouble to pull them off the Word of God. Well, obviously it didn't work for me. And if it was working for me, then why is everything up against me? People will do irrational things in your life. The devil would use them just to try to discourage you over the Word that's been planted in your heart. You got to become wise about these things. In fact, when you receive the Word, it's like putting a bullseye on your back. Congratulations. How many would say today, I was not distracted. I heard what you said and the Word is finding a sure place in my heart. Raise your hand. Congratulations, I just painted a bullseye on your back.
Right.
That's just the truth. It's not if trouble or persecution comes because of the Word. It's when trouble or persecution comes because of the Word. Why? Because of the Word. Because of the Word. And you and I would say, that's not going to work on me anymore. Nope. Amen. If I have to stand forever, I'm going to stand forever.
Right.
I'm going to trust what God said, regardless of what I see or hear or feel. I'm not moved. Say it, I'm not moved. But what I see or hear or feel, I'm stuck to the Word of God.
Yes, I am.
And anybody that's ever tried to live through the lens of faith, they found out that trouble and persecution came. And sometimes it's shocking who it comes through. And that's the whole point. He wants to shock you. Shock you enough to back off. Stop receiving. Stop believing. Stop speaking. No, I want to see this church like Bartimaeus cry out all the more when the devil tries to get you to shut up. You lift your voice up and you say, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me.
Yes.
You know, the interesting thing about Bartimaeus' story, those were believers telling him to shut up.
Yeah.
Now settle down. And Jairus of Bethany got born again after being believed into the kingdom of God. He went back to his church. You know what those church folks told him? Now settle down. Don't get too excited. Don't get too motivated. In other words, why don't you walk around dead like the rest of us? Well, here's my challenge to you. Get excited.
Yeah.
I said, get excited.
Yeah.
Be that one that's on fire for God. Amen.
Right.
Don't try to dumb it down. Don't be the lowest common denominator. Get on fire for God and let it spread to other people.
Yeah.
And have a mentality. I don't know when it's going to come through, but I am not going to let the devil use some stupid situation, somebody's mouth, amen, somebody's persecution to pull me off the Word of God.
Amen.
Everybody in this room, you've come too far to let that work. Come on, say it, I have come too far to give up now. Come on, shout it out, I've come too far to give up now. It's not going to
work.
And we were baby Christians, you know, yeah, it's quite a battle to learn how to walk in victory over this, but the key is knowing that you don't have to quit. It's as simple as that. Say it, I am not a quitter. Say it, I am not a quitter. And you know, if he can't steal the Word from your heart and he can't beat it out of you with trouble and persecution, he'll try to use this third operation. Look at the scripture. Still others, like seed sown among thorns, hear the word, but the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desires for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. See, what's going on here? You have got worries, deception about the place of materiality in your life. You're not supposed to try to fulfill a spiritual need with something material, whether that is a bank account or anything else. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you? Through worry, through deception, the pursuit of things over God. Think about this. And various desires, you could use the word lust as well. That word would do what it knows to do. Mark goes on to talk about when that word is sown into the ground all by itself and knows what to do. First the stalk, then the head, then the fruit from the stalk. That's what the Word of God teaches. Come on, say it.
The Word of God
knows what to do. It will produce. But there are thorns that grow up. And whose job is it to weed their own garden? You identify worry? Pluck it out. You identify some deception, some wrong affection towards things, anything above God? Pluck it out. Are you here today? You run into some desire that goes contrary to what the Word of God says? Pluck it out. Keep your garden clean and free of the thorns. And it seems like, no, we didn't let the devil take the word from us when it went forth, and no, persecution and trouble didn't work. So let's go a different route. Let's get them to be self-defeated by their own lack of discipline. Look at somebody and tell them, when you see a weed, pluck it out. Now, this is where the ministry of the Holy Spirit to you personally comes in such value. He's able to tell you exactly what those thorns are. There are thorns of attitude. It's going to have an amen. There are thorns of lust. Going to have an amen. There are thorns of being mouthy. He can show you exactly what is choking out that word. The good news is, if you receive the word and you don't let persecution and trouble destroy it, and you don't let these various things, the worries, these desires, the deceitfulness of the pursuit of other things over God, if you don't let them have the way, you will be able to produce a great crop. Look what it says here in Scripture. Let me say it again to you. The devil's number one goal is to get the word from your heart, because that's the key to your faith and your victory. He says, others... I shouted out, that's me. Say it like you mean it. That's me. Others, like seed sown on good soil, hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop 30, 60, or even 100 times what was sown. Look at somebody and say, he's talking about you. Luke's version of this says they hear, they accept it, and they retain it. It's a very clear message to us today, and hear this well. God is trying to exhort you to do one thing in your Christian life in these days, weeks, and months, and years to come, so you can walk in maximum victory and authority and power in your life. You need to hear it, but you need to retain it. Yeah. Don't turn loose of the word for anything or anyone. Amen. There are deceiving spirits out there like you would not believe. And listen to me, they're articulate. They're not stupid. And they'll do anything they can to talk you out of the Word of God. And if you're going to be militant about anything, be militant about retaining what God has said in His Word. Say, I'm a retention specialist. I hear it. Say, I'm not moved by the persecution, by the trouble. You know, if you're receiving the word of God and you're never persecuted, never have trouble, can I have your autograph? Yeah. Somebody in smile said, that's not my problem. I don't have that problem. You avoid it. And you weed your garden. Does not the word say to guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it flow the issues of life, with the thorns and the weeds start growing in there? Amen. Get in there before it's overgrown and starts choking out what God's trying to produce in your life. He wants you to harvest 30, 60, and 100-fold. But the key is to retain the word of God. Be like Paul. None of these things move me. Come on, shout it out. None of these things. None of these things. Move me. I'm looking at a bunch of faith giants here.
Yeah.
I said, I'm looking at some faith giants here. Yeah. On your way, amen, to be blessed, but also to be a blessing. And there's no stopping you if you won't let go of the word of God. Amen. Apostles were told, stop preaching in that name. You know what they said? Oh, we ought to obey God rather than man. What does the Word of God say? If we fail to praise Him, the rocks will cry out. There's always going to be a witness, always going to be a voice out there. Amen. Looking through the lens of faith, you understand that your faith is entirely tied to what you do with the Word of God. Therefore, your victory is tied entirely to what you do with the Word of God. As for me, I'm going to hold on to it in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Go ahead and put your arms like this. Say it. I'm holding on to the Word of God, no matter what. Do you know that you can have people in the same room and one person has his head right next to them? Why does that happen? This very principle. This very principle. And then somebody will shake their fist to God and say, I don't understand, you know. And God's like, you know what? You should have been listening all those months and all those years. Listen carefully to what I'm saying to you. We're moving into a time in God's timeline where you're going to need to be stronger in faith than you've ever been before. You're going to have to play offense and defense at the same time. You're going to have to be diligent. You're going to have to be discerning. Amen. You're going to have to be just very, very sharp, just like Jesus when the devil came to him. And the devil even used scripture and a butchering of those scriptures to try to propel him to do something that was out of God's will. Be discerning. Be aware. Measure everything against the Word of God, not some philosophy. And listen very carefully. When you hear somebody has walked away from the Word, or they're deconstructing, or all of a sudden they're criticizing the Word of God, you know what your first response should be? Why would I listen to somebody that's walked away from the Holy Word of God? Why? Why? Why would I give my ear to that for 5 seconds? No, thank you. I feel bad for you. I'm sorry you're going down that path, but you're going down a path that I cannot follow. Amen. It's the Word that brought us this far, and it's the Word that will bring us the rest of the way. Look at somebody and smile and say, dance with the one that brung you. It's the Word. Come on, stand on your feet, shout it out. It's the Word. Glory to God. Thank you, my Father. Thank you, Lord. As your heads are bowed today and your eyes are closed, is anybody here to say, yeah, you have quite a battle sometimes being distracted? Just raise your hand. You're taking authority over that today. Now, I mean, say the same thing that you sow the Word of God in, and you seem to be under a season of persecution and trouble. Raise your hand. You're not going to give up. Hallelujah.
That's right. Amen.
You're not going to shut down. You're not going to back up. Amen. How many say there needs to be some weeding in your garden? There's some thorns and things that don't belong there. Amen. Let's make this confession today. Say, Heavenly Father,
I understand.
Four times the Word of God says, the just shall live by faith. That's how we're called to live. I understand. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. My victory is tied to that faith. Therefore, with everything inside of me, I must hear, accept, retain the Word of God every day to walk in victory. In Jesus' name, I refuse to be distracted. I refuse to give up under pressure, persecution, or trouble. Said in Jesus' name, by the help of the Holy Spirit, I quickly identify worries and deception and defeating thoughts and all kinds of lusts and desires. I'll identify and pluck them out. They will not choke out the Word of God in my life. I boldly declare I do have the harvest 30, 60, and 100-fold. Isaac sowed in a famine, and in the same year reaped 100-fold. I fully believe if I will not be distracted, if I will not quit, if I will maintain the integrity of my heart, I too will see great harvests, great victories in my life. Come on, shout it out. I found the Word, and I'm not giving it up. for nothing, for no one, for any reason, in Jesus' name. Come on, give him a hand clap and thank him today.